Welcome to Empire Building. I'm Wendy Papazan, and together with my four co-hosts, we bring you weekly unfiltered conversations about leadership, growing a big empire, and living on your own terms.
I'm Kimber Lovett-Minkiti. We are investors and wealth builders with over $75 million in combined net worth.
I'm Sarah Reynolds. We are visionaries who've built more than 50 businesses with over $122 million in annual revenue.
I'm Tiffany Fikes. We've led thousands of people and do it all while being pretty good moms.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. We are your podcast to learn how to build big businesses and even bigger lives.
Welcome back, our amazing listeners, to another episode of the Empire Building Podcast. We are going to continue our little mini series on negotiations. And so if you did not join us last week we gave some general steps on what to follow when you're negotiating. And today I'm excited because I'm joined by the one, the only, Tiffany Fikes. And we are going to dive in and get tactical on how to negotiate when you're representing a seller in a real estate transaction. So we're getting super tactical today on how to make sure that you help your sellers get the most amount of money, especially in today's market. What's the Nashville market doing these days, Tiff?
It can go either way. The house could sell with multiples in one weekend, or our average days on market is just sitting below 45 days.
Okay.
We're crossing 5 months of inventory, so we're like teetering on the edge of a buyer's market. But there's still demand for certain neighborhoods, certain price points. And so you almost have to prepare your sellers for this could be a long thing or it could be a short thing. And it doesn't mean you're wrong either way.
Yes.
I remember this market before where, you know, the first time a house sold in a weekend, because I mean, I started in 2009 when it was 6 months on the market. And so as the market shifted and a house would sell in the first weekend, people were like, oh no, you underpriced it. You know, and I'm
yeah.
like, oh no, this is a good thing. So you have to like set expectations of this could be fast or it could be slow.
Yeah.
What is it like in all of your markets?
Yeah. So Power Home is in 10 markets. Our main market or where headquarters are is where I live, which is the DC metro area, very similar to Nashville. So very dependent on the house, right? How well you're winning the price war and beauty contest is critical. And also, we just don't know. And any agent that pretends to know, you're a fool, okay? Because you don't know. It can go either way. And you do want to prepare your clients and set that expectation that we're in a little bit of an uncertain market right now. And the good news is we know how to navigate it when we're there based on what the market's telling us. But we want to be the biggest listeners to the market right now. And how we listen is when it goes on the market, we're listening to those showings. You know, that was a different podcast episode, but just a reminder, we're listening to those showings. And that really applies to negotiations is, you know, you do want to listen to the market. And so we gave those general steps last week. And so we're going to dive in to how to get our sellers top dollar, even in the midst of a buyer's market, because that's where Tiffany and I learned. I mean, I got my license in 2006. It was right in the beginning of the Great Recession. We hadn't yet known. We knew about 6 months later after I got my license that we were in the midst of a housing crisis. But this is how we learned. We had to learn how to still get sellers as much the market can bear, no matter what the market was doing. And so we're going to go into those tactics. And this is an episode that you're going to want to come back to. You're going to want to share it with your team. You're going to want to listen to it. And you're going to want to write it down, because all of us at Empower Home that have been selling homes for decades are relearning lessons right now, and that you don't have to relearn them. You can listen to this episode, and this episode is going to tackle those. So let's dive in.
I love it. One of the tips that we talked about last time that I'm going to bring forward is negotiations begin when you have a written offer. So there are things you need to do before you have that. And we're going to like jump into those in a second. But I just want you to remember, do not negotiate until you get something in writing.
Yes.
All terms matter, and do not fall into the trap of negotiating ahead of time. It is an easy one to fall into, especially if the buyer's agent wants to start talking about numbers and terms. So before we really even dive in, just remember, until you have it in writing, you are not going to negotiate on terms.
Yes.
But we do have some tips on how to win once you've started having it in writing that you do beforehand.
Yeah, I think this was a hard lesson for me to learn, and I'll never forget it because I was a newer listing agent. I had a buyer's agent call me and wanted to start negotiating, and I just was having friendly and having conversation and fell into the trap. And then I even called my client and told them that we are going to be getting an offer and this is what it's going to come in at. And we never got the offer. And I ended up not losing the client, thankfully, but I lost the trust and did not get any referrals and really hurt the relationship because they got excited. They thought that we were going to get their house sold quicker, and we ended up not. And I learned a hard lesson that day is don't pre-negotiate and do not tell your client that you're getting an offer if you don't have the offer.
Yeah. Or if you don't have the counter or you don't have the, done that. Oh my gosh. Where it was like, they're going to accept the offer. Great. Like I got so excited. And so I called the client and they're going to accept it. And then they didn't. And then you had to call them back. It's the worst.
In real estate, in really any negotiations, if it's not in writing, it's not valid. Okay. So you cannot base it off of verbal, even an email cannot hold up in court. So wait until you get it in writing. Such a gold tip. That's when negotiations begins.
That's right. And there are things you can do before you have something in writing to help you with your negotiations. But we're not negotiating. We're just helping with the negotiations.
Yeah.
So, you know, good negotiations start from the first phone call. The first time you talk to them, which if you think back to our tips, that's the relationship building. That's the words you're using. That's like knowing that the words you're using are going to get repeated to their clients. Like all those tips go into this first thing, which is when a buyer's agent calls you on one of your listings, you are setting yourself up for good negotiations by how you respond to them.
That's right.
So like, one of the most common questions we get when a buyer's agent is like kind of interested or circling is, do you have any offers on this house? How you may answer this question matters. And there's kind of two different ways that you can answer it. I mean, one is if the house has been on the market for more than a week. Like I know our team, I think Sarah's team does this too. We have an offer period. Mm-hmm. So we don't accept an offer on the first day it hits the market. So if it's been on the market beyond that period of time, then, you know, this is an example of how you might answer that. Like, you know, the buyer's agent says, do you have any offers on this home? And you can say, not yet, but there's a lot of interest. So I am expecting at least one at some point, maybe this week, but I have nothing in writing yet. So how can I help you get your buyer to write an offer so that we can get them the house?
That's right.
I mean, it shows some interest in the house. It doesn't scare them off, though, because, I mean, I repeat that multiple times. You and I both know until it's in writing, it's not real. So, I mean, that's literally what we were just talking about. And I say that to the other agent, like, until it's in writing, I don't know. So, like, don't miss the opportunity to get this house.
That's right. I also made the mistake of acting as if there was so much interest and then buyers being like, oh, I don't want to compete.
Exactly.
So you got to be really careful with what you say because you want to make sure you set it up for the seller to not have like a super low ball for ideally. So you want to show that there is some interest. But I like that because it also makes it to where the buyer's not going to be scared of writing an offer. And like, how can I help you? How can I help get your buyer the house, right? You're befriending them. Now, the other side of that, right, is if the house just came on the market. So as Tiffany said, we follow the same thing. And that was really a gold nugget for our listeners. So you've got two of the best rainmakers in the country telling you, okay, you probably shouldn't accept an offer the very first day on the market. Okay. As I tell our agents, you can underprice a house. You can't undersell a house as long as you've given the marketing enough time to do its job. Okay. And so for us, it's got to be on the market from Wednesday through the first weekend. to know whether or not we did a good enough job to let enough people know about the house, okay? So you would use a similar response, but you would set the expectation of when you're presenting offers, right? So not yet, but there's a lot of interest on the house. I'm going to be presenting offers on Sunday night. I do know that my seller will put some value to the buyers that submit early on, as that is one of the ways they can show their commitment to the home. How can I help you get your buyers the house? So you want to give the deadline, but you also want to build a sense of urgency that you want them to write it up, okay? Even if it's the first day on the market, okay? You want them to write it up, but you're not going to be presenting it until Sunday, to where they set the expectation with their client that they're not expecting a response until Sunday night.
Love it. And then, I mean, the other great thing, like we just talked about, there's still multiple offers sometimes. I mean,
yeah,
we actually had a house, and buyers don't, or listing agents don't realize this, but like, we've had a house on the market, oh, I feel like it's like maybe 90 days. And we ended up with multiples this week.
Yeah.
It got a 2-week closing over asking price.
Yeah.
90 days on the market.
Amazing.
Yeah. So your answer may be, yeah, we actually do have an offer or two. So please have your buyer submit their highest and best offer by, you know, whatever the deadline is after the offer period.
I love that. Yeah. So this is such the market we grew up in. And I was out producing and out on the field, like doing this. And it's crazy how when one buyer wants it, I feel like all the other buyers hear about it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you end up getting multiple offers, even if you've been on the market a long time.
It even goes to pricing. You know, to your point of you can't underprice a house, like, you know, we follow a similar reduction schedule like you. And we had a like house that was on the market for, I think it was 400,000, reduced it to 375. We got two offers and they paid 400. Like, it went right back up to what it was.
Yep.
But the reduction doesn't mean you make less money. It
Correct.
Just entices the market to offer and to allow you to negotiate. So
yes, I've been saying every day, your list price is a strategy. It's not an agreement of sale.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, it's so good. I know. You heard it here. Sarah Reynolds, quote me.
That's right.
It is such a good, like, it's a strategy. The list price is a strategy. Okay. So as you can tell, we're very passionate about all of this. Okay. Because really, the list price is actually part of negotiations. It helps you with negotiations. So if you have multiple offers, you do want to ask for highest and best. I learned that from the banks. So from 2008 all the way to 2012, 2013, I was dealing with a lot of negotiations with bank asset managers because my buyers were purchasing foreclosures or short sales. And when I was negotiating with the banks or writing an offer, the banks would not accept escalation clauses. Instead, they asked for highest and best with multiple offers. And I learned that strategy actually does get your seller more money. So I would tell buyer's agents all the time, like, instead of an escalation clause, my seller wants your highest and best. So please submit your highest and best offer and we will review it at this time. And so you can learn a lot with negotiations from big banks, from builders that really have studied negotiations at a high level. And so I've just integrated that into these sort of tactics. And so it's important for you to learn.
Love it.
Okay, so what do you do if they still are trying? Because again, negotiations doesn't start. So this is all, we haven't even gotten to the real negotiations yet. Okay,
yeah.
This is all before we get there. Okay, so what do you do if the buyer's agent still wants to try to negotiate without putting it in writing? Okay, you say, I have found that my sellers take things more seriously when it's in writing. So please write that up. Okay, so do your very best not to fall into the trap of negotiating. Push back, say it needs to be in writing and tell them, write it up. That sounds good. Write it up.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what your seller's going to accept. You really don't until it's in writing. Okay. So get it in writing. We cannot stress that enough.
A friend of mine was talking with me about her executive MBA experience, and it really got me thinking. You know, it's a big investment, it's expensive, it's time consuming, and you're gambling on who you'll meet, who your professors are going to be, and what you're actually going to get out of it. Our conversation reminded me of why we created Empire Circle at Her Best Life. We flipped the script and created something really special for our experiential learners like me. While academia is absolutely important to our community as a whole, it doesn't always equate to what we need while we are building the big business in real time. With Empire Circle, you'll learn from women who've actually built the big businesses and who are still in the arena doing it. You don't have to step away. Our retreats take you to exotic locations instead of classrooms where you'll grow your revenue, hone your strategy, find your community, and expand your big, beautiful life all in real time. Why step out of your business when you can step into Empire Circle? Apply for Empire Circle now at herbestlife.com.
Okay, so you've got an offer from a buyer's agent.
Yay! Finally.
I know. So here's the first thing about like getting your head right about this. Remember how much the buyers have done to get to this point.
Yes.
Like when you have a written offer that is complete and good, you know, they have looked at probably multiple houses. They have determined that this house is the best for them. They've had to get all this information to the lenders. They had to get pre-approved. They spent hours looking at houses online before they even saw, you know, one in person. They've written an earnest money check. They've spent time putting together this offer, reading the contract. They like this home.
Yeah.
They are signaling to you this was worth all that effort. So just that's just a good like point of reference in your mind for they have worked very hard to get here.
Yes. So good. So good. And that means that typically once you get the offer in writing as a listing agent, and that's the win in today's market is to have that offer, right? Your competition doesn't have an offer. So that's a win. Okay. That means that it's time to negotiate. They like the house. Okay. So the next step, so you have the offer, you get your mindset right. Okay. The offer is in writing. Okay. You get your mindset right. The next step is you want to let your client know that you actually have an offer. So this is when it's exciting. And this is when you get to tell them like legit, like not a fake thought of an offer. Okay. You actually got an offer. So I always call, text, good news. I got an offer. We got an offer. Okay. I haven't had a chance to fully review it yet because there's a lot you want to do in reviewing the offer to make sure it's worth it for your seller to take the home off the market because that's what they're doing when they go under contract. Okay. So I haven't had a chance to do all my due diligence to review it all, but I'm super excited. I want to discuss it this evening. I'm going to send everything over to you to review and then we're going to discuss it. Okay. And then you send over the offer. And in the offer, we follow at Empower Home, we have sort of an offer email template that we follow. And this is where we really follow the advice from our founder at Empower Home, Debbie Reynolds, who's my mom. Okay, she's been in the business now almost 4 decades, has been part of nearly 12,000 home sales.
Wow.
I know.
Debbie.
I know. Can we learn from... We need to interview Debbie.
We should,
honestly. Oh my goodness. So much to learn from her. She's been through so many recessions and so many housing crises. In the early 90s, she almost got out of the business. Interest rates, I think, were like 17%. It was not good times in terms of the real estate market. And she almost quit. And she learned a big lesson during that time, which I want to talk about now, which is making sure that our job as a listing agent is to give the seller their options, right? So when they get an offer, they have 3 options. They can accept the offer as it is. They can reject the offer, which we very rarely ever recommend they do, okay? Or they can counter the offer. And so you want to give the options to the seller. When you're giving options, you want to give the risks. Every option has a risk. Every option has a risk. Every option also has benefits. So you give the benefits, you give the risks, pros and cons, right, of their options, and then you let them decide. They decide on what they want to do. And we were talking about this yesterday. My mom, we were on our way to lunch and she was saying how one of the biggest lessons she learned is it is their decision. And so many times as listing agents or as buyer's agents, like we want to like prove our worth almost, or like prove that we can be the hero, like we can get them more money or we can get them a good deal or whatever we're trying to prove, when really, like a lot of times the seller just wants the house sold. The buyer just wants the house, okay? And it's not the time to be like hero of the day. The hero is the one that gives the options, that pros and cons the options, and then lets the client decide. And she just reiterated, you know, it was during the recession in the early 90s, and she gave the options to her client, and she wanted to counter, and she thought that they should counter, and that was her recommendation. And they said, you know, we're really happy with it the way it is. Like, we want to accept. And her broker told her, you know, if they want to accept in today's market, let them accept. Like, that's their decision. And she did. And she was the hero to them because she got it sold. You know, they got what they wanted. And so just a good lesson of when you're negotiating, your job is to give your client options, give them options, pro and con them out, and then let them decide. Let them decide.
And give them your recommendation.
Yes.
Because like, Debbie needed to say,
yes,
and I would counter. If it was me, I would counter.
Yes.
And what do you want to do? Because I tell my clients all the time, like, you're paying me for my advice as well as all this other stuff. So
yes,
you don't have to listen to it. Like, you don't have to do what I say, but you are going to listen to it. Like, I am going to tell you, and this is what I would recommend. Because like, I do the same thing. I, even in this market, I was like, you know, I was helping one of my good friends, and I was like, I want to fight. Like, I really think that I can get this for $50,000 less for you guys. And they were like, but we're happy. And I was like, okay, then we won't fight. And you just get to be happy and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Because like, the opposite of that is we're dealing with a situation right now where the seller is not happy because our agent, they told our agent that they were happy with it and they wanted to accept it. And the agent said, no, you need to counter. And instead of listening to what they said, and then we ended up losing the buyer, and the house has sat and has gone down now in price. And it's just a reminder, you know, like, as long as they know that there's a risk in that happening and they go with your recommendation, you're good.
Yes.
But if you say you've got to do it, and when they want to do something else, you're not good, okay? That's going against our fiduciary duty of the client, which is what they want, is making sure that we're putting forth what they want. So just a lot of lessons here, but you want to give it to them in writing. So my preference and what I learned is that most buyers and sellers, they like to process things. Sellers like to process things and they like to know their options. They like to talk to one another. And so giving them their options in writing with the terms of the offer is what I found to be best. Then having a call with them, which Tiffany's about to talk about.
Yeah, because you need to do both.
Yes.
Whether you think, oh, I want to talk to them first, you know, because sometimes I want to hear how they react. Like, is it good news? You know, 50 under asking, or is it bad news for them? But it always has to be both. You need to have a conference call with both parties, if at all possible, and you need to present everything in writing to them so they can see it.
Yes.
So you want to have a conference call to discuss the details. But before you do, you need to make sure that you have verified everything you can about this buyer. Vet the buyer. Like Sarah said, you're about to take the house off the market. And so you need to know some things. They've provided a pre-approval letter, or, you know, whatever version of that you've got. You have a lender. You have a phone number. We do this when we have multiple offers. We'll call all the lenders because I want to know which one has actually got their stuff together and can get this closed.
Hold on. Tiffany just said something really quick and I want to make sure everyone hears. Like, the whole goal is to get it closed. Like, it's not to get an offer. Okay. Yes, the offer is a step towards getting it closed, but you're wanting to vet whether or not it's going to get closed. So like, that was really quick. And I want to make sure all of our listeners heard that, is that's the goal, is to get it closed, not just to get it under contract. So,
yeah. And this is a step that a lot of agents aren't going to do.
Yes.
Like, are not going to do. And so you are serving your client very well and better than most agents when you do this. But you have a lender number. Pick up the phone and call that lender. And you can say, like, we just received an offer from your clients, Joe and Mary Smith. And then we're going to use that technique we talked about where you just get quiet and see what they say. Because sometimes we've had lenders who are like, who? What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember meeting them a long time ago or, you know, like something like this. But you can learn because you want to know, like, how far in the application did you get with them? Have they been put through any sort of underwriting? What do you know? What can you do to help these buyers get this house?
Yep.
And just see what the lender will tell you.
Yeah. And it's crazy what they'll tell you. I mean, I ask everything, right? Have they been fully underwritten? What's their credit score? The offer is for X, but the seller will most likely counter. What's their max pre-approval amount?
Oh, that's good. I've never asked that before.
Oh, yeah. I always ask, what's their max pre-approval amount? Because that also helps you with, like, as you're coming up with a strategy of countering with your client, right? If that's what they're going to do, which typically 90% of the time, that's my recommendation, is to counter, right? You want to know, okay, what are we working with here? I mean, are they at the max and that's why they offer this? And a lot of times the lender will tell you what they're willing to do, because lenders typically aren't involved in this part of the negotiations. So you can actually get more information from the lender than from the buyer's agent.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good strategy on how to get more information. And then the other question is, are you comfortable with the closing date? Because, you know, the agent, sometimes the buyer's agent didn't ask the lender, like, can you get this done in this amount of time? You don't want to set the expectation with their client that that's when the closing is going to happen, when the lender can't get it done in that amount of time, right? So those are the questions that I always love to ask to make sure that we get as much information as possible before getting it under contract.
Yeah, it's setting you up to negotiate well.
Yep.
And at that point, then you can also prepare a net sheet for the seller because you've got the offer, you know what's most likely with the lender, and you can get them to really understand what's the bottom line, because that's what they need. They need to understand, what are they walking away with? It doesn't matter what the purchase price is. You know, it's all the concessions that they're asking for. It's, you know, all of those pieces. So make sure that you are doing some version of a net sheet for your sellers so that they can make the best decision for themselves.
So good. So good. And that's something that you want to have handy when you're having that conference call with them. You want to know what the net is so they understand it's not just about the sales price, right? It's about the net. Just some things also, like little lessons that I've learned, and I know Tiffany has learned these too. When you have the offer in writing, you want to check like conveyances or whatever your area calls them. In our contract, they're called conveyances. They might be called fixtures or what's staying with the property. Because I bought refrigerators, washing machines, curtains.
Curtains, yes.
So many curtains. Because I was moving too fast. I didn't see the details in the offer. And they were asking for something that wasn't supposed to convey. I bought ceiling fans. I could keep going. It will help you save things by making sure that you read the details of the offer. So I always want to make sure that I know exactly the details when we're talking about it, to make sure that we're talking about the full package, not just the price and the closing date, because that's what a lot of people focus on. And so making sure that you look at your listing agreement, what was supposed to convey at time of listing, and anything that they're asking for that's different than that, that's part of the offer. And so you need to make sure that your client knows that, because their job is not to know all the details of the contract. And so your job is. And so make sure that you present the full offer, and that could be asking for certain things that they weren't planning on leaving. So you want to make sure to know that.
Yeah. So you've done your due diligence. Now you get to talk to your client about what's really going on. So, you know, you're going to be finding out their emotions if you didn't talk to them first. So, you know, like things that you can say, like getting an offer is such great news. It's very normal for a buyer to come in low. That's the buyer's job to at least try. You know, I always say we have no idea what they're willing to pay. We have no idea where this could end.
So good.
So now we can figure out how we want to get to where you need to be for this to make sense to you.
And then you start having the conversation with them, right? And so you're going over the summary of the offer again. Yes, they got it in email, but I always like to verbally do that and then also hear their response. And then you want to really give those options and talk them through. Like, how do you feel about the risk of accepting this buyer, like, and taking the house off the market? Like, and so you're asking them questions about the pros and cons of each of the options, except reject, or counter, right? And then giving that recommendation, and 90% of the time, our recommendation is to counter. Typically, there's also any form of change to the offer is a counter, not just price. And so sometimes there's little things that you need to clean up, or if the lender said they can't meet that closing date, and maybe the seller doesn't want to do that closing date, and you want to counter that, typically the recommendation is to counter, but you're talking it through with them. You're asking how they feel. Why is that important? Okay, let's change it to this. And so you're listening, you're using the tips from last week's episode in the conversation, and then you're going to continue to use those tips all the way through until you get that family under contract.
Yep. And remember that your goal is to understand the emotions that all parties, I mean, if you can get the other party's emotions, that's just helping you. But for sure, you want to understand yours. And one of the things that I always do in these conference calls is there's always one spouse who talks more. Like I told you, I think in the last episode, my husband is the one who is much more quiet. And so people don't find out what he feels. They find out what I feel.
Yes.
Or what I say we feel. And so asking the quiet party for a verbal acknowledgement of, like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
And just make them say yes or no, because sometimes that can help them, because you may be like, all right, we're going to do this. And then they get off the phone and they talk to each other because the quiet party didn't say anything. And so anything you can do to bring forward those emotions of both parties will help you get to agreement faster for them.
So good. So good. Humans have emotions first, then they act. Right? A lot of people think humans are action and then they have emotion, but it's actually the emotion that causes the action. So I love that gold nugget, making sure that we get to the emotion of everyone. So every decision maker, you need to understand their emotions and do your best to use those tips from last week to get to the emotions of the other side too. And as Tiffany says, you win when you get that.
That's right. So. You get to win. Well, we have loved going through all of this with you for the last couple of weeks. So if this has been helpful to you, we would love a 5-star review on the podcast, or feel free to share it with somebody that you know who is in the industry and could be helped by some of this information as well.
Thanks for joining us. And we hope you have an amazing week and keep building that big business and even bigger life.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.